As a student at Harvard Divinity School, we have many opportunities to worship and gather with other traditions and other groups. And there are student groups of various denominations that host these gatherings, and they're typically open to our whole community. Last week, I attended the Unitarian Universalist Group's worship gathering. They're lovingly known as HUMS on campus, the Harvard Unitarian Universalist Ministry for Students. And they were hosting a flower communion, which I'll get to in a moment. But that morning, as I was planning on going, I was kind of in a funk. I was running late, I hadn't really had time to eat or finish my coffee, and I was just feeling down. I almost didn't go because I was thinking, this is my first time in a space. Do I really want to walk in late and bring that sort of energy into the room? But most of my close friends regularly gather with that community, and I'd said I was planning to come, so I scurried out of my apartment and down Kirkland Street, trying not to slip on the snow because the sidewalks were still covered in slush. And I hurried up to the third floor of Divinity Hall, and I pushed open the doors of Divinity Chapel. And I do want to clarify, I don't mean to diminish the space they'd created, but I could feel myself distracted. My mind was wandering, and I was antsy, thinking about the next 30 things I had to do. And by the time we got to the flower communion portion, I had worked myself up enough that I wasn't really present in the space. I could feel that I just was heavy. The flower communion consisted of each of us getting to choose a flower. We were gathered in a circle, sort of an oval of chairs with a table in the center, and there was flowers off to the side, and we each got to choose a flower from these vases off to the side and bring them into the circle. And after we'd each chosen and placed our flowers in the vase together, we returned to our seats, and they opened up the space for anyone to share words or music, whatever form they brought in poetry or song. And one woman and her son played a song, sort of a praise style, very upbeat. And I'm sitting there, and I'm beating myself up for my morning, and I'm thinking about everything else that isn't in front of me. And the performance felt like it was very far away. I was thinking, what a nice song, but here I am distracted. If only I could just be present. But then I look down and I realize that I've begun tapping my foot along with the music. Today is Ash Wednesday. It's the beginning of the Lenten season, the 6-week period of the church year leading up to Easter, the season of contemplation, reflection, remembrance, and repentance, and the season of preparation as we journey towards Easter. Growing up for me, Lent was primarily two things. One, when we got to go to the church on Wednesdays and share soup and sandwiches together. And two, when I gave up chocolate for 40 days. And as anyone would when their friend suddenly stops eating most desserts for a length of time each year, I had quite a few people question this behavior. It ranged from, what's that about? To pushiness. Seriously, God won't care if you eat just one cookie. To an almost admiration, because apparently my religiosity was measured by the length of time I could go without sweets. Who knew it was that easy? And even some friends, often in denominations that didn't observe Lent, questioning this behavior, asking if Jesus already rose from the dead, what's the point of focusing on death? And I wasn't always sure how to answer this as a teenager. I'd been raised in a church that observed Ash Wednesday with the imposition of ashes each year. We hosted weekly Lenten services, and I noticed our banners and our altar cloth changed from green to purple. I remembered the words of the pastor, "You are dust, and to dust you shall return," and the feeling of going to the grocery store with my mom after church, sporting my ashes. I recognized the changes in tone of the service during these weeks of Lent to more solemn and reverent. Being Lutheran was part of my identity, and honoring Ash Wednesday and Lenten season was and is part of that Lutheran identity. So as a teenager, I could feel the heat rising in my cheeks at the sudden mix of embarrassment and something like irritation at being questioned on what I held so closely to my identity, and even more so because I was at a loss for how to respond and how to explain this tradition and my part within it. Because I knew that Lent meant something more than me abstaining from chocolate. I sense it in the yearly rhythm of the changing nature of church life, from the green to the purple, from the bright glory of the transfiguration to the subdued and contemplative moments whose beginning is marked by a cross of ashes. I had been told that Lent meant something, and I could feel that Lent meant something. The Gospel of Matthew passage for today offers a reminder of what have been called the three disciplines of Lent: almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. Jesus gives the disciples a do and don't list for these three disciplines. When you give alms, don't sound a trumpet. So when we're singing the offering hymn and the ushers are collecting, don't stand up in your pew and loudly proclaim what you're about to give. And when you fast, don't look dismal or disfigure your face to show others you're fasting. So if you're here on Sunday mornings when we have our coffee hour, don't stand near the baked goods and the coffee and the apple cider and look sad. And when you pray, don't stand and pray in the synagogue so that you may be seen by others. So when we stand for the community prayers or the Lord's Prayer, Jesus tells us, don't go running down JFK Street and into Harvard Square to proclaim your prayers for the people who are just trying to check out the new milk bar. But when you give alms or fast or pray, do these practices in such a way that's not for the benefit or praise of others, but to honor God. When you pledge your gift to UniLU, when on Wednesday evenings during Lent you come to hold an evening prayer, or consider writing as a spiritual practice, explore Lenten Bach cantatas on Friday evenings, or discuss white fragility and the theology of the cross over lunch on Thursdays. And even if you give up chocolate, remember the why behind the action. The practices that Jesus speaks to the disciples are not meant to be performative. They're not meant to be done for the external reward of praise and adoration of those who may be watching. These contemplative, pious actions are not intended to be done for the mere act of doing them. Rather, Jesus links the actions intimately with the intent behind their performance. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. In a few moments, we'll hear these words repeated over and over as crosses of ashes are drawn upon our foreheads. And as I've learned through conversations this past week, the irony of taking part in such a public and external representation of our faith, just moments after hearing Jesus warn against public demonstrations of piety, is not lost on this congregation. But it seems to me Jesus is really concerned here about intent. When we receive these ashes, there's a difference between receiving them as a sign to declare ourselves oh-so-devout Christians and focusing instead on what this symbol seeks to remind us as we move through the Lenten season. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. As we walk these steps toward Easter, we're called to pause, to take the journey slowly, and remember that we are human. To be human means we aren't perfect. We will experience times of darkness in one way or another, and one day to dust we will return. But even more, to be human means we will never be unworthy of God's unconditional love. I love the image of Nadia Boltz-Weber putting forth, viewing our lives as a long piece of fabric, with our baptism at one end and our funeral at the other, and Ash Wednesday is a time when the fabric is pinched, so that our baptism in the past and our funeral in the future meet. For there is no amount of darkness that separates us from holy love. To be human is to be at once always living and always dying. The season of Lent offers a moment in our lives to pause and remember this reality, with the promise that death will not get the last word. When I found myself caught up in my own darkness, heaviness, lacking, feeling as though I couldn't be truly present in the welcoming space before me last week at Helms, I found even there I was unable to be separated from the holiness in that space. I looked down at my foot, tapping along with the rhythm of the acoustic guitar, and was reminded, I am never able to be separated from God's presence. From baptism to death, with every Ash Wednesday and every moment of darkness in between, may we always look down to find our feet tapping. Amen.